afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Wednesday, February 7th, 2018. Today is Wednesday again, and Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs will be joining us immediately following the market report today. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, it comes by so quick. Next thing you know, we'll be saying it's Friday. But happy hump day to you, too. And let's see. Let's go ahead and get right into the market report today, because Wendy always has some great information to share with us. We had a little pressure in gold today. Nothing to get concerned about. It was down $10 today at $1,300. And $14, 13.14, down 10, not 1%, not even down 1%. Silver is down 32 cents at $16.40. So there you go, folks, buying opportunity for silver. Platinum was down 12 at 982, and palladium was down big, $25 at $988. So you see, I just want to bring this out. Platinum, 982, palladium, 988. When I tell you it's a good buying opportunity for platinum, it is. You should have sold your palladium when it was higher, because they always reverse and maintain their order, the number of order that they are in. So palladium is pulling back. Platinum is going to continue to move up, and eventually it will overtake gold, as it usually does. USDX today was up 0.55 at 90.23. Crude oil was down 1.55 at 61.84. And the paper markets today, I mean, they were just all over the page. Probably at 3:30, I looked at the markets, and they were up over 200 points. We had a 500-point range spread today, the Dow did. We're looking at 19 points to the downside today at 24,893. The NASDAQ was down 63 points at 7,051. The S&P was down 13 at 2,681. 10-year yield, this was amazing, 2.84%. When I did my morning program, it was 2.75%, I believe. So a big turnaround for the 10-year yield. The euro was down big, down 0.94 at 123. European markets overnight, both Germany and London were strong. Everything else was fairly flat. The fear and greed index, you're still looking at an 18 for the extreme fear. And Bitcoin was up a little bit today, a little over 4%. We'll be talking more about these markets in the second and third segment of today's program. But first, I'd like to welcome Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs to the program. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Dave.
Hi. Hello, Hi. Wendy.
We're going to talk about calcium today. You know, people think, you know, a lack of calcium creates the weak bones, and it can do that. But a lack of calcium can also cause other diseases, and actually medical doctors aren't accustomed to treating patients with diet and whole food supplements, you know, getting at the cause of the problem. Now, most calcium supplements that you see on the market are really aren't composed of whole food ingredients to help improve a calcium level. Most supplements are made from the FDA's approved monograph, also known as recipe, and that could be made of oyster shells, cow bones, and rocks called dolomite. So these types of supplements also can contain some metals like lead, so we need to be careful. But consumers really don't have any idea that they're taking rocks, seashells, and ground-up animal bones as a calcium supplement.
Wow.
Also, consuming milk products from animals like your milk, cheese, yogurt, ice cream, and so forth really isn't the answer either, as these products don't offer the proper chemistry that the human body requires in order to absorb and retain calcium. Now, strong bones and teeth is just really the tip of the iceberg when it comes to calcium, and your immune system actually uses calcium to operate, and the reason is our cells need calcium in order to communicate and send signals throughout our body. So calcium is really necessary for normal cell function, and without it, you can get a cascade effect of failure involving things like hormones, your blood system, nervous system, muscular system, and more. So what happens when we have a low calcium level is we put ourselves at risks. So calcium, cow's milk, for instance, it may contain 17% calcium, but the body's not going to be able to absorb that, maybe getting a fraction of that because it doesn't have the minerals that normally accompany calcium for an uptake. Therefore, animal calcium is really a poor source of calcium, but it's the number one food allergy source in the United States. So what kind of health problems can we develop if we have low calcium levels? Well, we can have kidney disease, and it can become chronic if it's not reversed. Also, thyroid problems, as well as autoimmune disease, digestive disorders. Also, if you have a high intake of processed salt, it will decrease your calcium levels. Also, magnesium deficiencies can happen, as well as your vitamin D. So if you do have more of a deficient level, instead of just low, you're really deficient in calcium, here's some of the symptoms you'll find. You may have muscle spasms, specifically in the legs, you know, get cramping, chest pains, heart failure, numbness and tingling around the mouth, also in your fingers and toes. You can also develop difficulty swallowing, develop depression or personality changes, have impaired learning ability, which shows up in children a lot, hair and nail problems, tooth decay, cataracts, and of course your osteoporosis. There's a other list, but I don't have time to go into all of the things that can happen, but those are pretty much the highlighted ones. Now, anytime you're using a supplement, like we talked about your calcium, other calcium supplements will say calcium citrate or calcium citrate malate. Does anybody know what those are? Want to take a guess?
Dave?
No clue. The only thing I can tell you is that they're in my vitamin cabinet.
Uh-oh.
I don't take them, but I think my late mother-in-law did.
Okay, well, the calcium citrate and calcium citrate malate are really salt products, and they're used as a food preservative, and they can be used with your standard calcium supplement, like your cow bone. It could be added to it. So the product labels will recommend you use mega doses of these types of supplements, like 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams, and too much of calcium from these products will put patients at risk of cardiovascular disease and kidney stones. And it's because the chemistry is not right, and we're going to get into why it's not right. Other supplements are made from, of course, we mentioned the rocks, the seashells, cow bone. And does anybody stop to think, you know, how did cows get strong bones? They weren't nursing on other cows all their lives. Well, it's because they eat grass, which is rich in chlorophyll and minerals and, of course, calcium, and they are able to absorb the calcium when they eat grass. Now, I'm not suggesting you go outside and mow your yard with your mouth. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I am suggesting...
Thank you.
I'm suggesting people scrutinize the ingredients in supplements and think about them. So when you get a lot of isolated derivatives, like you see in the calcium supplements we've talked about, these aren't whole food ingredients, so the chemistry is wrong, and you don't get the absorption of the calcium like you would like. When you get natural calcium in your food sources, it's going to have your balance of chemistry, and you don't need mega doses of it to get what you need. Now, have you ever wondered why sometimes doctors will recommend their patients take a calcium supplement when they prescribe a certain drug? You ever wonder about that? Well, some prescription meds create a calcium deficiency, so they recommend the patients pick up a supplement. So here is a list of some of these drugs that can kind of remove the calcium from your system. Steroids like prednisone or cortisone. Phenobarbital, usually used for epilepsy. Hormone antagonist drugs, things for prostate, endometriosis, and infertility issues. Aromatase inhibitors, usually for breast cancer, antacids used for heartburn, of course, your chemotherapy drugs, drugs for organ transplants, you know, so they don't have rejection. It strips the immune system of calcium so it won't attack the organ. Also, heparin, which is a blood clot drug. Loop diuretics, often prescribed for congestive heart failure and kidney failure. Drugs for conception, like your birth control, as well as drugs for rheumatoid arthritis, diabetic medicines, thyroid cancer drugs, and there's a whole list, but those are the main ones, okay? Now let's talk about some foods that are going to have calcium and the chemistry you need so your body can absorb it. Here's a list. Salmon, sardines, kale, collards, broccoli, mustard greens, turnip greens, bok choy, your sesame seeds, tiny little seeds, but they're really packed full of calcium. Fruits and vegetables in general, basically, and sunflower seeds and oats and millet grain, all going to have your wonderful calcium in there. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about this calcium chemistry a minute, because when you look at whole foods or even look at medicinal herbs that have calcium, you see the same chemistry across the board. You see two parts calcium, one part boron, one part magnesium, and those minerals are required for the body to grab on and absorb the calcium and put it where it needs to go. So when you take cow's milk or cheese or ice cream or any of that stuff, there's 17% calcium but no minerals for the uptake. Yeah, so this is why people, you know, have yeah, well, this is why we still have bone problems, osteoporosis, yeah. And you see people walking around, this celebrities with the milk mustaches and all that nonsense. So now, some of the herbs that are going to be really great for calcium deficiency are going to be horsetail, comfrey, lobelia, and oat straw. Now, the Native American Indians knew that these herbs were really great for bones, because the comfrey root they nicknamed bone knit. So it was great for helping bones to heal and knit properly. So they would use that if they had a broken bone, for instance. Now, the same thing goes with the ascorbic acid stuff that people pick up vitamin C, which all comes from China. It's a chemical. It's an isolated derivative. It's not a whole food. I think people have gotten so used to reading chemicals, strings of chemicals as their ingredient list, they don't know what whole food looks like anymore, you know? So if you're going to pick up a vitamin C source, it should say from berries or rose hips. This is going to be your real a vitamin C in the chemistry the body likes. So, you know, if you want to benefit from that, you know, you don't need as much of it, because the body can utilize the whole food balance better than megadoses of the isolated chemicals. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Do you use vitamin C supplements?
I do not. I do not.
A lot of people this time of year, they're picking all that stuff up, and 98% of it's from China. All the vitamins.
And I do my salmon and, you know, things like that. I eat that. So I don't, but I don't take any supplements, calcium supplements.
Well, and you think about it, supplements, you know, these capsules and tablets, you know, they take time to be digested, usually around 2 hours. That's why I like powders and liquids, because the powders you can put in a beverage and it becomes water soluble. Same thing with your liquid concentrates, and then they're working in 60 seconds, which I think is the way to go. You can adjust the dose easy too, you know, if you don't need as much.
I got a question for you. If you're taking these supplements that have all this other stuff in it, mm-hmm. and it gives these symptoms, and one of the symptoms was your fingers and toes are tingly and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Could people be diagnosed with neuropathy instead of maybe just having...
Sure. Yeah, peripheral neuropathy. They'll be probably told, go see a neurologist, and they'll be put on all these medications. They'll probably be... Usually peripheral neuropathy is a precursor symptom to diabetes. Most of the time. And what it is the nerve endings, the small capillaries, aren't getting oxygen and blood flow. So they're complaining. Typically, you know, the blood isn't delivering, and diabetics usually have blood that's really laden down with sugars, and it doesn't carry oxygen and nutrition as well to especially those small capillaries, and this is the reason. But again, you know, you need calcium for the nervous system. You need the cells to communicate. You need it for immune system function. You need it for a whole lot of things. So, yeah, a lot of times doctors will know what the symptom is, and they can associate it with the disease that's coming or you're developing, but they really don't know what the cause is. Mm. And so, numbness and tingling, peripheral neuropathy, ginger root's great. If you need circulation to really small capillaries that are feeding those nerve endings, you need ginger root. At least that's what I would use. I'd pair it with some cayenne, because those two together supercharge circulation through the system. But diabetics need to do some organ cleansing to clean up the blood system.
And I've also heard people that have calcium deposits.
Mm-hmm.
Is that from too much or not enough?
Well, I mean, when you get that cow's milk going, you may absorb 3% of that calcium, but it's going to be displaced. You don't have the minerals to take it where it should go, which is
from
bone, connective tissue, muscles, the immune system. So it gets displaced. A lot of people get bone spurs, kidney stones, and cataracts. They get the calcium deposits on their lenses. So the body is trying to utilize it, but it doesn't have the chemistry to transport it where it should go. Okay. I know, it's very particular. There's an order to this, and our creator did that. So if you look at oranges, green leafy vegetables, or your herbs, it's always the same chemistry with that calcium, and that has to mean something. Doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yeah.
So, you know, get it in your diet. And most people, when they use their medicinal herbs with calcium, the ones I mentioned, we have a calcium formula at Apothecary Herbs. Most people can correct their bone issues, for instance, in just a few short months, because you're not supposed to be on this lifelong either. It's just to, you know, kind of boost you a bit and, you know, get that diet where you're getting more of the natural calcium going. So it's there, but it's not supposed to be exploited either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah, I remember as a kid, drink your milk.
Oh, I know.
And well, I think the milk then was probably better than what we have today.
I mean, Dr. Joseph Mercola analyzed a glass of cow's milk, and I think he found 6 medical drugs in there, the growth hormones, antibiotics, all kinds of stuff was in the milk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not real milk. You know, so, and keep in mind, cheese, people forget about cheese. It's 10 times the concentration of milk. So, you know, and don't overdo it, and get some plant-based calcium and you'll be amazed what you can accomplish.
All right. Well, we have about 45 seconds left of this segment. Wendy, would you like to give us some contact information, please?
Absolutely. Folks can request a free catalog at Apothecary Herbs, and the calcium formula is in there. It's on our website, too, at thepowerherbs.com. But for a free catalog to be mailed to you, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, or visit us at thepowerherbs.com. And don't forget, sign up for the newsletters. They're free.
Yes, they are. And they're great little newsletters. And Wendy, you do such a great job informing folks on how to stay healthy so we can stay out of the doctor's office.
Well, thank you. And you do a great job helping us keep our money where we need to keep it.
We try. We try. You got it. You got it. Well, you'll be joining us next Wednesday. Any final? Well, no, we'll be here heading into a break here, Wendy. So
well, I'll be back next
thank
weekend.
You once again. We'll talk to you next week. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Dave.
Stay tuned, folks. We'll be back after these messages.
We will find you acting on your best behavior.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival, that is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. And please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Please make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, and we got some great information. It's always changing, various articles and information, and we want to make sure that you keep coming back to it. And our subscription base is increasing as I speak. And Dave, I just want to warn you, I've done two earlier shows today, and my tongue is just a little twisted today. I've been talking all day, and I'm getting a little tongue-tied here. So, just ignore me, which I'm used to it, but just
hey,
ignore me. And
I do well in tongue-tied language.
And, you know, we're going to be a little light here. It's funny, because you wanted to talk about this on Monday. I'm not a big sports fan, but Dave is, and I know a lot of our listeners are. And so we had the big Super Bowl this weekend. And, of course, for all the underdogs out there, we didn't talk about it Monday. And, of course, Pastor Butch from yesterday, he absolutely watches no football at all. But for those of you who do, Dave has, I guess there's going to be a parade, because you're close to Philly. You live close to Philly.
Maybe, maybe not, but I live close enough to to make a parade possible. That's right. Tomorrow is a big victory parade, in fact, for all the underdogs out there, all the loyal fans, whatever and whomever you're loyal to, for all our deceased moms and dads, grandparents, aunts and uncles who waited and waited, sometimes for all their lives, for their favorite team's championship. Sunday night Super Bowl 52 outcome was for you. And now the Philadelphia Eagles, who hadn't won a national championship in 58 years, are Super Bowl champions and have etched themselves into the hearts of millions of loyal followers like me and tens of more millions of people around the world who've attached themselves to this merry bandwagon of vagabond winners. It's an exciting thing, Melody. Here's the lessons, I believe, of the Eagles' somewhat Cinderella, and surprising run this year. You're never down and out, despite what the so-called pundits may say. And as the late, great Jimmy Valvano said, you never, ever give up. That's the story of the Philadelphia Eagles this year and its diehard fans. So regardless of what you hear, listeners, that the current stock and bond market downturn was just a flash crash and other propaganda like that, the Eagles' victory is actually something akin to gold and silver. An underdog, a sleeper, a hard worker that's always going to be there for you, no matter what. We say, stay loyal to gold and silver. It'll always be loyal to you. Buy it now. Call us at 1-800-375-4188. Other than that, Melody, all I can say after this great Sunday victory is
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Well, this is a new one for this program. All right, congratulations. I know you're tickled. I'm a Steelers fan. If I had to pick a team, I'm a Steelers fan, and maybe they'll be there next year. But you know what? There is something to be said about the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm not going to start on something else, but they're a very they have a lot of faith.
Indeed.
In that team. And so it's interesting to see how they won and to watch them and with their knees and their prayers and looking upward. And for those who didn't watch the game or know anything about the Eagles and so forth, it doesn't seem to be your typical team. because they do bring their faith into their play, and that's not something you hear anyone talk about rarely, if you do, and they should be noted for that also. And I so
that's a good point.
Yeah, so it's just not all about the kneeling, you know, during the anthem and so forth. They don't take put the focus on that, which I get it, but here's a team that deserves recognition for their faith. So we also have something else. So
we our weekly Brevity is Golden segment, Melody.
And we're going to get to the news, folks. There's a lot of news out there, particularly with the budget. So
stay tuned. We're getting there quickly. The theme for today's Brevity is Golden is, I almost want to sing this, but I'm not going to. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Listeners, mark your calendar for March 23rd. Yes, to usher in spring, the U.S. Postal Service will issue a new stamp featuring that young children's favorite television host known for his zip-up cardigan, sneakers, and soothing manner, Mr. Rogers. Now, as most baby boomers, Gen Xers, and millennials know, the iconic Fred Rogers wrote, produced, and hosted Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood for over 30 years. He died in 2003 at the gentle age of 74, and although you can't see it, I'm wearing my cardigan sweater for this broadcast of Financial Survival in honor of the iconic Rogers, whose message remained a simple one throughout the years. He always told his viewers to love themselves and others. By the way, Melody, the stamp features Fred Rogers and the loyal puppet king Friday the 13th. So listeners, use Mr. Rogers' stamp for all of your gold and silver mailings, and that is this week's Brevity is Golden. Melody?
Thanks, Dave. And listeners, speaking of eagles, don't forget about our special on American... Actually, we have American buffaloes. We can do both, but we can do a really good price on American gold 1-ounce buffaloes today. And... or the American Eagles at very good prices, and with spot at $1,315, you can get them for you're looking about $45-$50 over spot. So a tremendous buy for the American Eagle and Buffalo coin, and the buffaloes are limited. So give us a call. Carla's standing by. It's been a crazy week. Last week it started, and it seems like we're going to have another crazy week. I think it's going to finish the same way as it did last week, and we have a possible another federal government shutdown. The temporary funding that Congress passed just a shoot. See, I'm tongue-tied. Just a few short. Maybe it's too much coffee too. I don't know.
Too much craziness out there.
Maybe it's very fast pace, and so Congress passed. It was just a few short weeks ago, and the temporary funding is set to run out at midnight tomorrow. Last month's shutdown of about 69 hours came after the politicians, both the Republicans and the Democrats, and Congress were unable to agree on the extent of immigration reform and relief for the Dreamers. David, sounds like D.C. is on the verge of an agreement. What are you hearing about that?
Well, Melody, as Yogi Berra used to say, it's deja vu all over again.
I love it. You make me laugh.
Oh, hey. Well, you know that Senate leaders are reportedly on the cusp. Actually, they have reportedly struck a bipartisan two-year budget deal, at least in the Senate, to boost federal spending levels for both military and domestic programs, a deal that I think will surely set off Republican infighting from its deficit hawks, and as we'll learn later from some Democratic liberals in the House. And because the Senate deal in the works would separate, for now, a stalled immigration fight from efforts to keep the government funded, we should expect, as House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi announced earlier today, strong Democratic infighting who want to solve the immigration issue now. The agreement between Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Minority Leader Chuck Schumer will scrap the spending caps that have been in place since the earlier this decade, and increase defense spending by $80 billion this year and $85 billion next. And at the same time, it would increase non-defense discretionary spending by $63 billion in 2018 and $68 billion next year. The Senate bill would also provide additional disaster relief funding and raise the debt limit through the end of this fiscal year. Last night, the House passed its version of a continuing resolution that would fund the Pentagon through the end of the fiscal year on September 30th and all other government agencies through March 23rd, when we'd celebrate yet another Groundhog Day and do this political gamesmanship thing all over again. But the House bill does not include disaster relief or a debt ceiling increase, which they want to discuss separately and apart from temporary funding to keep the government running. Surely even Yogi Berra must be rolling around in his grave by now, Melody. It's even after the lowly New York Mets finished their first season in 1962 with a crazy 40-120 record, their manager Casey Stengel consoled the team with this famous bit of humor: "Fellers, don't feel bad. This was a team effort. No one or two players could have done all this." This quote and historic reminder, by the way, compliments of CNBC's Jake Novak. But it's the same way in Washington, Melody, when it comes to our $20.6 trillion debt and the wild and crazy spending that created it. No one party, president, or ideology could have done all of this. And no matter how deep the partisan divide appears to be in American politics, each side works together consciously and unconsciously to sink the nation into an ever-deepening ocean of bills we just can't pay.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, since 1970, we had a grand total of, what, 4 years that didn't have the federal government finishing up in the red?
Pathetic.
Yeah, those years were 1998 to 2001. But the only reason he ended up was in the red because they did a lot of IOUs in the Social Security Fund. And yeah, that's why. Mm-hmm. And now you have Senate leaders from both parties are close to making a 2-year budget deal that could help the country avoid a shutdown, a shutdown war for at least that long. It turns out that the near deal is nothing like the pact of the late 90s. This is built on a mutual, a couple of shaking. They do it at midnight. Mm-hmm. It's always a closed door session. Yeah. Where no one is around. And you're right, they keep winking and nodding. It comes from both sides to keep spending like it's an unlimited supply. And hey, it's not their money, it's the taxpayers' money. So to them, it is unlimited to some degree. And they just continue to keep spending without the revenues to pay for it. They just print more and more, and our debt continues to go higher and higher. Republicans at the president's behest are looking to increase military spending by about $165 billion over the 2-year budget period. The Democrats are getting smaller but still massive increases in domestic spending to the tune of $131 billion.
That's crazy, Melody. It's not a sure thing, though. The deficit hawks, the House Freedom Caucus, are vowing to defeat it. Unlike the tax reform plan, the budget plan would presumably get Democratic votes in both houses and could pass regardless of any Freedom Caucus protest or a handful of no votes by Republicans in the Senate, such as deficit hawks Rob Corker and Jeff Flake. But that bit of vote counting intrigues a drama that's going to play out in cable networks over the next day or two. But what's not really in doubt? The majority of Congress and the White House are just fine with driving our deficits and debt higher. To young Jack climbing up the beanstalk, I'd say, watch your butt, young man.
You know, Congress has the power of the purse, yet the chances of this ending anytime soon, it's not. They have to keep spending. Every recession that we've come out has all been created by debt. And now we have a synchronized world debt to levels hundreds and hundreds of trillions of dollars. And it's what is going to scare anyone back to any reality and to sanity? it will be a complete collapse of the system, is what I believe.
Could the Earth implode into one big giant sinkhole, Melody?
It could. It could. A financial sinkhole? Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely, it will. And people who own gold and silver, you do have to remain confident knowing that the rising debt levels, this is what is going on in the markets. We're going to talk about algorithms and so forth here after the break. But folks, it's about the debt. They can look for something to blame because they're looking to the people out there to see what you will accept as an excuse for what happened to the markets the past couple of days with the big swings. Everybody will buy into the algorithms. Everybody will buy into, you know, it was a flash crash. They can't talk about the debt. They can't talk about the 10-year yield. Do you hear anyone talking about the important things? It's all distractions out there, ladies and gentlemen. So we do have, and gold and silver, you should remain confident knowing that the rising debt levels, along with the climbing interest rates and the other factors that we talk about all the time, do have an eventual positive impact on gold and silver prices. They just don't re-jerk to, you know, knee-jerk reactions just because the market's down for a couple days. We have to build trends. You have money. Money goes in this, you know, when you have market crashes, first it's going to go into cash. It's going to go into bonds. That makes the dollar a little bit stronger. That puts pressure on gold. Why do they do that first? Because it's easy to move money. Big volumes of money. Then, if the markets continue to go and continue to the downside, then you see that money going into gold and silver, into the real safe haven. If the markets come back up, then a lot of that money might come back into the markets, and then we'll see the markets go back up. And it happens all the time, Dave. I mean, it's, but yet they use these other reasons, and they've had an impact. I agreed. And we'll talk about that also. But the true trigger point, what I believe, is the debt, Dave. Is the debt. So we're going to be stopping here. And we'll be taking another break here after a few short messages. When we come back, we're going to talk about the automated algorithm trading and some other causes of the market's recent roller coaster ride. And we're going to look at the volatility and its effect on gold and silver. So 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And we'll be right back, folks. Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at dgscoins.com. That's dgscoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I was waiting for Dave to go. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And three shows in a day. You know, Bob Chapman. Dave, he was here for many years. I did programs with him for about 9 years. I don't know how many programs he did a day. You know.
More than one, it sounds like.
Yes, he did. And he was always very proud of how many he could do, because it's very difficult to do radio programs. And, I get worn out doing three. This is my third one. So I'm just about all talked out. So I'm going to let you sort of take away. I mentioned going into the break, we were going to talk about algorithmic trading, the financial markets. We haven't been surprised here at Discount Gold and Silver at all the downturn in the markets. We've been saying for years this is what's going to happen and what's taken so long. And we're going to see the ups and downs and the volatility increase. As I mentioned before, with you have interest rates rising. And I get tired of people saying, well, the Federal Reserve only took a quarter point. And so far, it's important, ladies and gentlemen. Important, and it's important just how long they keep the system going. And the higher those rates get, the more difficult it becomes for them to even service our debt. Our national debt, as we talked about, is just spiraling out of control. Inflation, even though they tell us that we don't have much, but we do. But at that, even in their terms, is becoming a big concern. We have stock prices that are overvalued compared to their underlying earnings. We have several other economic and political factors. I mean, it is truly amazing that even the markets are even showing signs of life, yeah. Much less somewhat of a rebound over the past 2 days.
Indeed.
But as the Dow collapsed 700 points in 20 minutes on Monday afternoon and the stock market jerked back from bad to earth-shattering, you have everyone around, the traders and analysts, trying to figure out an explanation. Blame the machines. Blame the computers. Blame technology. It isn't the stock market. The fundamentals are strong, but let's just blame technology. So, any comments on that? What can you tell us about that, Dave?
Well, Melody, it's let me just preface my comments with this isn't what I'm about to talk about isn't to suggest in any way, shape, or form that we believe or I believe that what's happened the past couple of days was caused by these computer models. In fact, as Melody has been saying throughout this show, in particular, There are other factors that she's mentioned, economic factors in particular. But these computer models and the way they're designed certainly could have exacerbated a growingly bad situation. These lightning-fast trading models, automated sell orders, and these sophisticated algorithms, which are just fancy computer programs, they didn't drive 100% of this biggest stock market point drop in U.S. history, but investors and market experts say they're likely to have made a crazy trading day that much crazier, spooking anyone with a retirement fund and sparking an outburst of, at least for a period of time, panic selling, making yesterday's rebounds seem even more puzzling. You know, many analysts have observed that the market is always just one step away from massive volatility because of programmed trading. One of them said yesterday, there's no way that investors can compete with a computer making 1,000 trades a second. What it does, though, is ramp up the psychology of fear and greed for individual investors, especially in a market that's turning downward. Algorithmic trading, which is defined as proprietary computer programs that can perform thousands of trades a second, has become a reality for global markets. The guy who works for J.P. Morgan Chase, who wrote that passive and algorithm-driven quantitative investing, as he calls it, accounts for about 60% of stock trades now, compared with 10% for more traditional trades. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said yesterday that algorithmic trading definitely had an impact on Monday's 1175-point Dow drop, but Tuesday's trading, when the Dow closed up 567 points, also showed just how quickly algorithms can upend the markets and disappear. Unfortunately, Melody, it's impossible to know yet the size of the effect that algorithm had in Monday's sell-off and in the rebound over the past day. The only way to know it is with audit trail data. So says Eric Scott, who's a software developer with the market data firm Nanix. And as he says, the algorithmic traders and their companies just keep that information under lock and key. Well, I, for one, believe the Congress or the SEC should require these firms to disclose and report this audit trail data to make it more transparent, clear for us, we normal investors, how these robotic-like trades affect the markets. Market analysts said the market swings weren't the fault of computers alone. I mean, certainly, you know, jittery trading, sky-high stock values, as Melody had mentioned earlier, and other market indicators set the stage for this market sell-off. But Monday's abrupt fall, which followed months of rising markets and engineered at superhuman speeds, just had many analysts remembering the 2010 flash crash, another sudden and steep fall, and rebound blamed on the chaos of unchecked automated trades.
And, you know, that's when I think of technology and these flash crashes. I mean, they'll drop 1,000 points, but they're back 1,000 points within, you know, a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. And it isn't quite the same thing that was experienced in this. But you'd also have to think, Dave, don't most trading algorithms respond to the same evidence people do? Selling, for instance, if they recognize certain triggers. I read where analysts suggested that algorithms may have responded to Monday's trades falling below the market's 50-day moving average or to the fear index having skyrocketed beyond a certain point.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, if an algorithm appears to sell, you know, rashly or emotionally, it's because a human taught it to do so. A human programmed it, right?
Exactly.
I mean, some of these people use their mathematical speed to exploit tiny, I mean, minuscule changes in some cases in price, buying, and reselling within a fraction of a second. It's crazy, and I believe blatantly unfair, not to mention inefficient. Although, you know, to the extent that it increases volatility in that market, which is a good thing for gold and silver prices, well, hey, so be it, I guess. You know, others attempt to predict how markets will move by analyzing dozens, even hundreds of data points, you know, including indicators and labor market news releases and the wording of politician speeches. These algorithms, I'm not sure they're complex. I guess they are complex, but they're broad and they're varied, and they take into account literally dozens, if not more, criteria that the normal investor just wouldn't think to include, or certainly doesn't have the time to consider when making trades, and whether, you know, it's stocks, bonds, or whatever. But I mean, and here's the impressive but also scary thing, Melody. Computers react to evidence exponentially faster than any human can, in millions of a second instead of minutes, and can move in mass, trading at incredibly high volumes around the world. And to me, that's what makes them potentially more dangerous. I don't know what else to say in this respect. I mean, investment advisors say the algorithms can contribute to a climate of fear, especially when they're involved in helping to drive the market down.
I've shared this story with the listeners before, talking to my computer person, and we were talking about, you know, these, you know, trading by algorithms, and they get to where the information is actually released and traded. They upgrade cables. Instead of having, you know, a 6-foot cable, they actually shortened the cables as much as possible to instead of 6 feet to 4 feet or 2 feet. I'm using that just as an example, because the amount of time that the information traveled between, that they saved traveling from the 4 feet to the 6 feet, saves them money. And they may, you know, it saves them, as you said, nanoseconds of time. And it makes impacts on the amount of money they make.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think. And I was like, well, that's really, it's hard to imagine shortening cables, that it would actually save enough time to make a difference. And he says, no, absolutely. He says they're always upgrading their cables. They're always shortening. They try to get it as close as they can, because those nanoseconds, it could be billions of dollars.
It's a nasty competitive world out there.
The average person doesn't have a chance. So a question is, and I think I know the answer to this, regulators.
Yeah. Why have they allowed it to happen? Well,
other than for money.
Ah!
Money, money, money.
Money. Money it is. I mean, the stock exchanges, they make money from fast-paced trading by selling access to the, well, they call it, by the microsecond data feeds of market activity from these companies. For example, the NASDAQ exchange made $150 million or a quarter of its revenue in the most recent quarter from these so-called information services, which includes selling trading data. Critics, including those named in Michael Lewis's Flash Boys, his 2014 book on high-frequency trades, which is a good read for anybody, he says that computerized trading can end up rigging the market. And here's I think most significant, rig the markets in favor of super fast trading firms at the expense of everyone else.
Yeah.
So anyway, in the age of laissez-faire, I'm skeptical we're going to see any action on that end soon. Melody?
Yeah, trading isn't, you know, what it once was. And we're certainly in a new age, but you know what? It comes back. I mean, the systems have been set up, and it's, you know, it's the gambling casino, Carl Icahn. I talked about it earlier today. You know, he says, you know, you can't play in this casino. And he was referencing the stock market. He says, you don't invest in casinos. And that's certainly what they've been. And guess who usually wins? It isn't the person gambling that usually wins. It's, of course, the house. It's the house that wins. And, you know, earlier, Dave, you mentioned about volatility. You know, we've been talking about it, and you hear everyone else talk about it. And high volatility in the stock market is one of the important signs that signals a rise in the price of gold and silver. Generally speaking, the higher the volatility there is, the higher gold and silver prices will go. And this storm that has rocked the market over the past week or so could, I think, is just getting started. And the most popular fear gauge on Wall Street is the CBOE's VIX, the volatility index. And that spiked past 46 during the, you know, they had the same type of a seesaw trading yesterday before closing around 37. Today, the VIX fell back to about 21 around noon before rising again to just under 26. And while this is closer to the VIX's historical average of about 20, it still is 266% higher than it was on January 1st.
Incredible.
And that is when the index stood at 9.77. And it's 294% higher than its low of 8.84 last July. In short, Dave, it looks like we're in a pretty wild ride this year, and they're also blaming the shorts, I believe. The ETFs and the shorts, I didn't quite understand how this all comes together with the VIX. And because, well, I guess now you can bet on volatility. You can invest in volatility. You can short and go long volatility.
Yeah, yeah, you absolutely can. It looks like we're getting short on time, so let me try and briefly sum it up. Exchange-traded products that bet against volatility. ProShare short VIX short-term futures is one. The big one, Velocity Shares daily inverse VIX short-term, exchange-traded notes. They've been getting hammered. Both these products and others like them, they use leverage to play against volatility, and they've raised concerns again this week over the exotic products that are out there on market stability. Credit Suisse said the last day of trading for Velocity Shares daily inverse VIX short term will be February 20th. Kaput, you're gone. The bank's triggering this liquidation because the product during these last three volatile days couldn't keep up with the scenario it was supposed to track, a calm market. That security, which had fallen about 85% in after-hours trade Monday, resumed trading Tuesday, closing down 93%. In a word, Melody, bye-bye.
800-375-4188. And I think it's important to talk a little bit about this on Friday when we return. But tomorrow I'll be back with Butch Paul, Pastor Butch Paul. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. That's too bad.